We've been talking about these new proposed NFL rules throughout the day. There's a bunch of rumors out there in terms of what could happen leading up to the draft, what could happen leading up to OTAs, including a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. And to chat about it, we're joined now by longtime NFL executive with the Eagles and Browns. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Joe Banner. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. We've had some detailed conversations about this over the past couple of days, these new proposed rules in the NFL, and the one that's caused the biggest stir is that you can no longer lower your head to initiate contact. And I find it hard to believe they're going to be able to officiate this and completely eradicate these plays out of the game. What was your reaction to the rule proposal, and how do you think it might affect the NFL?
Well, first of all, my reaction is the same as yours. I mean, we're back into a very ambiguous place. They can show film. They can verbalize it. You know, we're going to open the season with an Eagles game after they win the Super Bowl, and you can be guaranteed there's going to be hits in that game where some are going to go, wait a second, isn't that the new rule? And others are going to go, no, that's not. And the referees are going to be, we're going to be back into this big ambiguous conversation. And the most interesting part about this to me is, you know, for years, I remember Paul Tagliabue, as commissioner, used to talk about the importance of change at a pace that gave people a chance to be educated and change that they could get used to and a period during which they could adjust rather than going straight to rule change and consequence. So I think this is out of character for the league to make this kind of change, implement it immediately, and really focus on a punishment as opposed to a period of time during which we try to affect people's behavior. I mean, take a season or two, create a warning, bring referees into training camps, give coaches lessons on the change you're trying to affect and let them teach the players. But we're going game one to the risk of being thrown out of the game. I just don't think it's a good plan.
And Joe, from a protocol standpoint, when you make moves like this in the National Hockey League, it's got to be approved by the PA. I'm assuming this has already been approved by the NFLPA.
Yeah, I don't think in this case they need to get the approval of the PA. It would be hard, frankly, for the PA to take a position against something that at least the intent was to make the game safer. And, you know, who's against that? Everybody's for that. It's just in what areas, over what time frame, implemented with what method, educated the players, the referees, the coaches, in what way. So I don't object, and I can't imagine any of us do anything that at least is correctly identified that could make the game more safe. But that doesn't mean you implement it from day one with penalties as severe as potentially being thrown out of the game. Why not try to? The goal here isn't to punish the players. It's to change the behavior. Couldn't we have affected that through some teaching, some coaching, some instruction, and see if we couldn't manage a change of the game without shipping ourselves right into this, what's going to be very controversial and constantly debated, you know, should he have been kicked out of the game? Should he have gotten a penalty? Shouldn't he have? It's just, there's no way you can define this so precisely in words as to not have any problems with it.
With Joe Banner, longtime NFL executive, and now that leads us to the conversation we were having earlier today, like, is this a slippery slope we're currently on to the point of having a sport here that we've all loved for a long time being...
With the violence you loved.
With the violence in a lot of ways, but even just basic fundamental football where it's unrecognizable. Like, we get to a point where it's not quite flag football.
It's just grabbing a guy and hugging him and throwing him to the ground.
Exactly. And if it gets to that point, like, what kind of business structure are we really going to have in place here in the NFL?
Well, this is why the idea that I'm proposing of having created, and I'm not originating this, as I say, I remember Paul Tagliabue talking about this when we were discussing rule changes when he was commissioner. He actually referenced this when he made the ruling on the Bounty Gate case with the Saints, and he was the appeals officer. You know, if we're trying to change the behavior, let's create a process by which we re-educate people. I mean, the game can still be quite physical without people hitting each other in the head in ways that we see in some of the more extreme instances. So let's teach them. Let's educate them. You know, part of the reason that we had all this trouble with the pass-catching rule was the players and the coaches, not just the fans, the players and the coaches didn't know exactly what was a catch and what wasn't a catch. This is going to be the same thing. What was a hit to the head that's illegal? What was one that was so illegal that you're ejected versus a penalty? We're going to have complete ambiguity in the same way. So the process of teaching, I mean, we all have referees who come into training camp, you know, take a year or two and focus on this. See if we can get enough of change of the behavior through the education and the recoaching versus the penalty. If it doesn't work, then maybe you need to get to this level, but at least create a process in a period of time during which we're trying to affect the behavior without, you know, I almost think it's a little childish without having to punish them versus educate them.
With longtime NFL executive Joe Banner, so you're familiar with the Browns and the inner working of the Browns, and they're on the clock. The draft is rapidly approaching. They've got the first pick and the fourth pick. They've already made a lot of moves this offseason, bringing in Tyrod Taylor, Jarvis, among other players. Are you starting to believe in the Browns? Do you feel like they'll find a way to fumble this? How do you see this playing out?
Well, you know, I know John Dorsey, and I know a lot of people that have worked with John Dorsey. So I do feel like they have a reasonable chance of doing a better job at evaluating, and they've obviously got a lot of assets, both in the form of cap room and players. So I'm very optimistic we're going to see meaningful improvement here. I'm a little surprised that they approached the offseason in so many of the moves, you know, a relatively short term. If you'd asked me before they made the moves, I would have predicted that they would make a few moves that were short-term, like a Tyrod Taylor, to try to regain some credibility, get a little momentum, give the coach a chance to have some success and build confidence in what he was doing, and then focused on players that will still be an integral part of the team in 2, 3, 4 years when theoretically they have a chance to get really good. And I think there was a fairly small number of moves that fit in the latter category and a significant number of moves in the first category. So I actually think they'll be better this year than I would have thought before free agency, but maybe not improve the long term as much as I would have thought. Now, obviously, they still have a lot of money. They still have a lot of draft picks that will be young players that will certainly be part of the team in 2, 3 years, which is why I'm optimistic we're going to see meaningful improvement. But I know at this point you go 0-16, getting to good sounds phenomenal, but what you want to do is try to create a path that gives you a chance to not only get to good, but to continue to proceed, you know, through good into a higher level. So I think the moves they've made have generally been good. I think that they're in position to have a meaningful increase from where they've been in terms of the one loss record. I would have liked to have seen a few more things that will still be part of the team 3 years from now, and theoretically they should be starting to get really, really good.
Well, they can't get any worse. I mean, they've won one game in the past 2 years. I mean, come on now. It's got to get better for the Browns. And with those two picks, again, atop the draft, we all expect them to take a quarterback with the first one. With the fourth overall, who knows? And there's some rumors out there that maybe you could peddle that for a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. And we've talked about his status throughout the week here on this show, with the owner coming out and talking about him, his coach coming out and saying, as of now, he's on our team. That does not sound like it's overly positive and supportive of the idea that Beckham Jr. will be a Giant for a long time. How do you see that playing out?
So as somebody that made a lot of trades, and I'd like to think some pretty good ones, they're following the script that you follow when you're trying to flush out what's the best offer I can get. So I don't think they've made a decision to definitely trade him. I think they're definitely open to trading him, or we'd see more forceful denials. We wouldn't have seen the door open the way it was. So I think they're open to trading him. Now the question is, will they actually get an offer that's compelling enough, in which case they decide to make the move? Remember, this happened, at least it became public, right after he said, I'm not coming in unless I have a new contract. So
I don't think the video helped him either.
No, that didn't help him either. But then they had to make a decision. Do we want to pay him or not? And if the answer to that is not, most teams would say, well, let's bring him in another year. He's got a new coaching staff, a new culture, a new GM. Let's see if that makes any difference. But he kind of gave him an ultimatum. You got to pay me now or I'm not coming in. So they're going through the process to flush out who's interested, what are they willing to pay, and at that point they'll make a decision, in my opinion, as to whether it's worth moving him or keeping him. Originally, my reaction was that, boy, unless they get totally blown away, there's no way they're moving this guy. It doesn't make any sense to me. as I've watched the process and the comments and the stepping it back, but barely, I actually think there's a reasonable chance that maybe as much as 50-50, and I would have said 90-10 just a week ago, that he could be traded.
Thank you for doing this, Joe. Really appreciate the insight. We'll do it again down the road.
Sounds good. My pleasure.
There's Joe Banner, longtime NFL executive, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca. You've been an executive, Pooley. Like, when it comes to a high-profile player, you can control the message, can't you? In terms of whether or not you think you're going to trade him, you want him traded, you want everyone to know there is a 0% chance he's getting traded.
Yeah, you want the word out there quietly that you're willing to move him, for sure. And you want other people, and particularly within a division, like if you think he might be going to L.A., then you're letting the other teams know in that division, hey, there's a chance that your buddy's down the road. If you don't want to see him there, you better get involved here.
Mm-hmm. So I don't understand what happens if the management group decides that they're going to move away from a player. Is there like a group fax that goes to every GM or an email saying this player is available?
Different ways to do it. If you don't want to make it look publicly, then don't send that fax out. But you can get word out pretty quick. You can get it out through the agents. That player's agent will make calls. You say you better get on the horn and let guys know that your guy might be available. You know, you call your network. And, you know, you have trading partners, you'll let them know. But word will get out pretty quick with a good player like that. And then your first decision is, do we have a locker room that can absorb that? Like, do I have a locker room right now that could absorb Odell Beckham Jr.? And am I pretty close to winning? Because if I'm not pretty close to winning, and I don't have a locker room that I think can control that player, I'm out.
Well, and also, how much am I willing to commit?
Well, what's he looking for? Well, that's the other thing. That's why the agent's involved, though.
Yeah.
Is because if he's clearly said that he wants a new contract, what does that mean? Is it something that we're not even consider paying?
Yeah, that's got to be sorted out before a trade.
Absolutely.